Okay, Shalom, Rabosa, Gudvach. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Dalet. We're here in the middle of Chaf Gimel Mabez, and it's kedai to give a little background here and go back to Chaf Gimel Mabez if you flip back a page. So just start in the middle of the page over there. We were discussing machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The Braisad said, "Asala behema dofen the sukkah." If you use an animal as a wall, the sukkah tells machlokas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it was fine. We had a machlokas Abai and Rabbi Zera in terms of why Rabbi Meir passels such a wall, meaning if you use a live animal. Abaye had said, because maybe it's going to die, that Rabbi Meir is concerned that maybe the animal will die, and then right, it will kind of fall down. Right, we had other discussions of what exactly the case is, but basically you will lose the window, the wall, rather, that you are trying to create if the animal dies. So that we said that Rabbi Meir is the one who's concerned for the animal dying, and Rabbi Yehuda does not care. The problem is, we see an opposite statement of Abaye, that where the shittos are flipped, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is concerned that the animal or the item will break or the animal will die, as we'll see in a second, and Rabbi Meir is the one who is not concerned. So let's just that's we quote Rabbi Meir. That's we started on Amud Beis, right? It seems that Abaye said the opposite. Right? We pointed out the two brises that if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, and that Kohen goes to, goes overseas, a dangerous trip, we assume that he's alive. And another Braisa says that if a guy, the same case where a Bas Kohen is married, where a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, and he gives her a get and says, this is a get a moment before I die, we're concerned he's going to die at any moment, and therefore she cannot eat truma in that case. Whereas opposed to the first Braisa, we had said that she is allowed to eat truma. So what's the deal? Are we concerned for the person? Do we think the husband's going to die or not? And Rabbi had said, no problem. There's no steer between the brises. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who thinks that the person's going to die. And Rabbi Meir is the one who says that the person is not going to die. And that's what we pick up. Right? And that's against what we just said on Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Meir said he is concerned the animal will die and Rabbi Yehuda is not. So we're going to pick up here on the Tanya on Chaf Gimel Mabez. We left off at the proof why Abaye thinks that it's Rabbi Meir who's not concerned for the husband dying, and Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the husband's going to die. So we're four lines up the time. As we learned in a brisa, this brisa is not about people dying, it's about a barrel breaking. We've quoted it several times already in this Daf Yomi cycle, both in Yuma and in Erevin. It's the Kemachokas and the concept of Brera. Now, obviously, this is not about, again, as you'll see in a second, this is not about people dying, but it's also we're concerned. The question is whether we're concerned about some unlikely scenario of either someone dying or, in this case, a barrel breaking or something breaking. So as the Brisa says, the Tanya Belinda Brisa, Halukeh Yayim Bein HaKutim, if a person takes wine from Kutim, there's a Gzera that you have to take Trumas and Maestros because Kutim are not careful for Trumas and Maestros. So, if the person, for whatever reason, cannot take Trumas and Maestros, let's say it was about to be Shabbos, or he doesn't have any Tohor Kalin to put it into, so the guy can do as follows. According to Rabbi Meir, the guy can do as follows. Omer Shnei Lugin Shani Asi Lafrish Harein Hein Truma. He's two eventual Lugin, where let's say there's 100 Lug in the barrel. So two is truma, right? That's 50%, 2%, right? So two out of 100, that's two lugim that I'm going to eventually separate. That will be the truma. Asara meiser, the 10 lugim that I will take out is meiser rishon. Now, obviously, that's rounded because once you take out two lug, you're left with 98 lug. It really should be 9.8, but okay, let's say 10 lug is meiser rishon. Tisha, now you're down to, again, you're not down to 90, but you're down to 88, but if you use the fractions, whatever it is, meaning it's close to 9, you round up, and you take 9 lugin for Meiser Sheni, right, Umechal V'shosam Miyad, and then you can be Mechal of the Meiser Sheni, right, again, Meiser Sheni you're able to redeem, and then the Kedusha goes on to money, so that the item is drinkable, so you could, in that case, if you do that, meaning you make this kind of whole contingency plan, that eventually the lugim that you're going to separate are truma and meiser sheni. So then shosam yad, you can drink whatever you want in the barrel. Dim Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir shita. As we'll see, that we're going to say brera, we're going to say retroactively, we're going to determine what the scenario was, and we're going to say that the wine that you separate later on was the truma and the meiser sheni that you set aside, and therefore the wine that you drank right now, right, that is quote unquote tithed wine, and everything is fine. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all three of those Tanaim, they say that is no good. And as we'll see, this concern, maybe, as we look at Rashi, Osrin, why? Gzeres, Shema, Yibaka, Hanod, we're concerned that maybe the barrel, maybe the wine skin type thing that is holding the wine, will break. Because then, what happens then? Then if you drank, let's say you drank 20 luk, you had a big party, you drank 20 luk of the wine, and then before you could actually take the trumas from Esther's, the wine breaks. Well now, those 20 luk you drank was, right, that was teva, because you were unable to actually end up taking the trumas from Esther's. So those Tanaim are concerned that you may not actually end up doing it. So you see, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda over here is concerned that the barrel may break. Right, you don't even get to the point of Brera, right? Because the barrel may break, you may not get to separate Trumas and Maestros after the fact. So it's Rabbi Yehuda who's concerned for a barrel breaking, and obviously an animal dying, as we'll see in a second, it's much more common for an animal to die than for a barrel to break, right? A barrel doesn't break unless, you know, these barrels of wine, what do they have? You can buy this scotch with, 100-year-old aged wine caskets or whatever. So it's not so common. So if he's concerned that the barrel will break, certainly he should be concerned that the animal's going to die. That's how Abaye knew to make the brisa where we are concerned for the husband to die, to say, that's how Abaye knew to say that that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and Rabbi Meir is the one who's not concerned that the husband will die. Because over here, he's not concerned that the barrel will break. So that's Rabbi Meir, that's Abaye. So the problem is, that contradicts what we just said. Right, by Sukkah, if you use an animal as a wall, Rabbi Meir is the one who says it's possible, and that we're concerned the animal is going to die. Rabbi Yehuda does not. So Gemara answers simply, Eivuch, you're right, switch it around. Meaning Rabbi Meir is the one who holds that we're concerned that the husband will die, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's not concerned that the husband will die. Therefore, the brisas by gittin, the brisa by giving a get, or being concerned whether the husband's alive or not, that lines up with the brises about the brera, about the wine breaking, whether we're concerned whether the barrel is going to break. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is concerned that the barrel will break and concerned that the husband will die, and Rabbi Meir is the one who's not concerned that the barrel will break or that the husband will die. The problem is, so then we still have a contradiction to our halachos by Sukkah. Just back in the Gemara, sorry, Epoch, really, we should reverse the Shitas. Rabbi Meir Chayesh Lamisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chayesh Lamisa. Rabbi Meir is the one who's concerned about dying, and then Rabbi Yehuda is not. The Tanya is willing to raise up. Also, Lehem and Dofa Lasukka, Rabbi Meir Posal, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Right, if you tell me, maybe as we see from our case by Sukkah, right, if you make an animal a wall for the Sukkah, so Rabbi Meir says, Posal, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So Rabbi Meir is the one who is concerned that the animal will die, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. The problem is, that's a twofold stira. Right? It still doesn't really work out, because Kasher Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, we didn't do Kasher Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a stira in Rabbi Meir. Right? If you're telling me about the wine, Rabbi Meir is not concerned that the barrel will break. But by Sukkah, and by the case of the husband, right, so we are concerned that the animal will die and that the husband will die. So I'm going to the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir say to you, Misa shchicha b'kias hanod lo shchicha. Right, because something passing away is much more common than a barrel splitting, than a wineskin splitting. Right, that those items don't break. Right, they're strong enough; they don't break unless they're put in certain conditions. It's too hot, it's too cold. As the Gemara says, Efshar the Masr Leila Shomer, you can give it over to someone who will watch it and put it in the proper areas, right, and it won't necessarily break. Right, you don't have to be worried that the item is going to break. Kasher Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. And you also have a steer with Rabbi Yehuda, because by the case of the barrels of wine, Rabbi Yehuda is nervous that it will break, and therefore you can't do Breira, do this thing with the taking of the Trumas and Maestros. But by Sukkah, he doesn't care. He's not concerned that the animal will die, and he's also not concerned that the husband will die by the case of a get. So the Gemara says, "Time with Rabbi Yehuda, Lav Mishum D'Chayish L'Bikias Anod." So Gemara circles back and says, "Actually, Rabbi Yehuda's reason here is not because he's concerned that the barrel will break, right? Ela Mishum D'Lesle Breira. Simply because Rabbi Yehuda holds you can't do this whole Breira game that Rabbi Meir wanted to do. Rabbi Meir says, you can designate your wine And, you know, just later when you actually separate the wine from the barrel, so then that will be the wine that you separated at the time, right? When you separated, let's say, 3 days ago or whatever. Because we're going to say Breira, we'll say retroactively, this was the wine that you meant to separate. Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? You can't do that. That's not a thing. You can't do Breira. You cannot retroactively clarify something. I have a little chayish Rabbi Yehuda lebkis. No, one second, Rabbi Yehuda. What are you telling me? Rabbi Yehuda's logic is not because the barrel will break. Father Minkatani Seifa, look at this second part of the Braisa, second part of the Seifa. Amulo, the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, Yetamoda Shemi Yabaka Anod, Vinim says that shows the Tvalim Lahavreya. Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Rabbi Meir, why aren't you concerned for the barrel breaking? And Vamalahu, and Rabbi Meir said back to him, Lakishibaka, right? When it breaks, I'll deal with it, but right now that's not my issue. But clearly, Michal de Chayesh, Rabbi Yehuda, because I know it apparently, right, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda even asked him that question, that's his concern, that he's concerned that the barrel's going to break. Skamar says, not exactly. Hasam over there, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gamar, Rabbi Meir. Right, meaning, really, Rabbi Yehuda is asking Rabbi Meir a question within Rabbi Meir's own shita. Really, Lididi, according to me, meaning, says Rabbi Yehuda, Leslie Breira, I don't even entertain this possibility at all. I don't hold of this concept of Breira whatsoever. But according to you, Rabbi Meir, who does hold of Breira, Diesh Breira, why aren't you concerned for the barrel breaking? So it's really no steer within Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't hold that it's a concern. He's just asking Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, within his own shita. And therefore, Amar Lekishibaka, that's what Rabbi Meir said back to him, well, I'll deal with it when it breaks. The Gemara asked again, V'lo chayesh Rabbi Yehuda lemisa, is Rabbi Yehuda really not concerned that somebody may die? V'atanaim, within the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer af isha, chayez matkinin lo, shematamos ishto, if you remember from the first daf in First off in Yuma, right? What do we do for the Kohen Gadol? Right? We set up a backup wife. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, the regular Kohen Gadol gets a backup wife. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda prepares a backup, says you should prepare a backup wife. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. So, meaning, the beginning, the Mishnah points out that you need to make a backup Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Yehuda even adds and says you need to actually have a backup wife for the Kohen Gadol, because Shema Tamos Ishto, because maybe he'll die. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for people passing away. So it says, Ha'it Ma'alah, it was said about this, Amar Avuna, Breder of Yeshua, Ma'ala, Asu, B'Kapora. You're right, in a Chanami, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for someone passing away there, but he's not really concerned that someone will pass away, just some extra stringency by kapara, right? So we go above and beyond the normal set of circumstances to make sure that we get atonement on Yom Kippur. But in general, right, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that someone may pass away. Okay. Now, if you remember, we had said that what is the reason, right? We, back in the Machlokas on Chaf Gimel Aleph, where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda had argued as to whether an animal can be a wall of a sukkah, and there were two possibilities. We've been talking about Abaye. Abaye said the concern for Rabbi Meir to passel an animal for a wall of a sukkah is because it might die. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zera says, no, we're concerned that the animal may run away. The animal might run away. So the Gemara says, Bein Laman Da'amar Shema Tamas, Bein Laman Da'amar Shema Tivrach, right? Regardless of who you hold, like Abaye or Rabbi Zera, whether you're concerned the animal will die or run away, still midaraisa mechitza ma'alyei. Right, still midaraisa, right? It's a good wall, right? The animal's still a good wall, and v'rabanan d'gazruba, right? It's gzer d'rabanan that you shouldn't use this animal as a wall because something might happen. But really, midaraisa, it's fine. Problem is, el me'atav, if that's true, so there'll be meir t'tami mishum golel. If you remember, right, there are a bunch of examples that we brought that an animal is not able to do. One of those things is not able to be metame as a golel, meaning it's not tame as when you put the animal on top of a kever. Right? There's a concept of a golel that the top of a kever is mekabel tuma. So again, if you remember, one of the examples we gave in that brisa, right, was that the animal is not able to be used as a wall of a sukkah, and it's also not able, it's not going to be mekabel tuma, right, as the top of a golel. The problem is, that's a kula, right? If you're telling me all these are dinam derabanan, right, you can't be used as a wall of a sukkah, what were the other ones? It was, it can't be a lechi edemavui, it can't be pasi biros, and then it said it can't be a golel for the kever. Well, all of those other cases, we're going to be machmir and say we're not allowed to use the animal. But how can you tell me that midaraisa, really, this is makabotoma, and midarabanan, it's not makabotoma? How does that work? Right? That doesn't work. And because Alamatnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, just right in the Gemara now, Rabbi Yehuda Metamei Mishum Golal, Rabbi Meir Metayer, right? Rabbi Yehuda says it's Tamei, Rabbi Meir says it's Tahor, right? How does that work? Right? Clearly, if you're going to tell me that the animal is not Tahor, if the animal is Tahor and not considered a cover for a kever, so that must be some sort of problem with the animal in Midaraisa. It can't be a Dindar Avanan. Right, that doesn't make sense. You can't be machmir. Right, the chazal can't come and uproot tumah. Right, that doesn't make sense. You can say something is tamei midrabanan or something is osur midrabanan. You can't tell me something is tohor midrabanan. That doesn't make sense. So Ella, so really, so the Gemara says, Allah Amar of Achabar Yaakov. That kasav Rabbi Meir kol mechitza shomendes beruach eino mechitza. Really, we have to backtrack. And so Rabbi Meir is psul. If we're using an animal as a mechitza, it's not because it might die or run away. Rather, there's something intrinsically wrong with the mechitza, with using an animal as a mechitza, and that is because any mechitza, Rabbi Meir holds that any mechitza that is standing baruach because of wind, right, is not considered a mechitza. If you look at Rashi, right, la mechitza, right, second to last Rashi, the ikar amidaso davar she'in bo mamashu. Fascinating, very not so clear exactly why it should be, but the ikar amida, the ikar way it's standing, the whole reason it's standing is because is through a davar she'in bo mamash, is through something that is not physical, something that's not actually there. So an animal which is alive because it's breathing. Right, so that's not considered a mechitza. Right, that is not considered a valid mechitza midaraisa, and therefore, right, it's also not going to be a golel, right, for a kever. So igadam, another way that, to understand what Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, that Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov kasavar Rabbi Meir kol mechitza she'ina asuya bidei adam in a mechitza. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, no, nothing to do with wind. It says it has to be man-made. That a mechitza has to be man-made. Obviously, an animal is not, and therefore. Now, that's a little bit misleading because we find that, you know, if you mentioned, we mentioned before, that trees and other things that are not man-made can be used as a wall for the sukkah. What he means is something that could theoretically be it made by men. It doesn't actually have to be made by man, right? You can, as we mentioned already several times in the sukkah, you can use, let's say, a tree for a wall of a sukkah. So it means anything that could not entirely and theoretically be made by man is no good as a mechitza. So my benayu, what's the difference between those two answers, two ways of understanding Rav Acha bar Yaakov's explanation of Rabbi Meir's psul? So ki benayu, to okma beno tafuach, if you, for whatever reason, use the wall with a node, and again, a node is, I translated before as a barrel, probably not so accurate, because here it's talking about no tafuach, literally means a node that was blown up. So it must be some sort of skin or some sort of balloon type enclosure, but and obviously much stronger because it says that the node would not break without, you know, really ruining it. So it must be some sort of, you know, I think it's translated as like a wineskin. I'm not sure exactly the nature of such a thing, but basically it's an inflatable type of liquid container. So if you use that as a wall, or use that as a wall, l'man d'amar mechitza omedes beruach eino b'sheinu metzuya harei omedes beruach. And again, if you're telling me that the problem is because it's supported by air, so if it's blown up to be the proper height, so then it's no good. Right? But according to one who says that the psul here is that it has to be made by man, or theoretically made by man, so obviously that is man-made, and therefore, then it would be good. Okay, now back to the brisa that we quoted. We had said Amar Mar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Gluli Amru Af Ein Kosman Alav Gitei Nashim. He even can't write a get on animals that are alive. Obviously, if the animal is dead, right? We write a get. Unfortunately, if we have to write a get, so you can write it on parchment, right? We write ksuvas on parchment, torahs on parchment. Obviously, a dead animal, but we're not talking about live animal. We're not allowed to write a get on a live animal. So Gemara says, my time on. Rabbi Yosi Haglili. What's his reasoning? The Tanya learns Rabbeisa Sefer. The part that which could I quote the entire pasuk here? Where is it on my Gemara? Right. Kikach ish isha ubaala v'ayat l'mlosim zachem beinav ki matza ba ervas davar. And here's the important part of the pasuk. Right. Basically, that whole introduction says two people get married. They don't want to continue that marriage. So what do? Because of lost Sefer Krisos, and he writes for her a book of Krisos, probably best translated as severance. V'nasen bi'oda, and he puts it in her hand. V'shilchami beisa, and he sends her away from his house. So the word Sefer, Rabbi Yosi Aglili learns, that it has to be written in a sefer, right, on a book, on some sort of piece of writing situation. So ain't el sefer. Minayin l'rav is called davar. So that teaches me it has to be written in a book, in a scroll or whatever. How do you know you should include other items you can write a get on? Tamalomer v'kasavla. You should write for her. So we learn from that mikol makom. You can write anything you can write on. You should be able to give her as a get. I sin came out tamalomer sefer. So therefore, why does the pasuk teach me sefer? Right? If he already says v'kasavla, right, you should write for her. That implies you can write on anything. So what do you need to write? Tell me that it should be on a book. Lomer l'cha ma sefer davar shein bo ruach chaim veino ochel af kol davar shein bo ruach chaim veino ochel. Just like a book is not alive and does not eat, so too anything that is not alive and does not eat or is not food probably is more accurate. Doesn't eat, right? Is not food. Those two things are required for the get to be valid. For Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan hold? Because they clearly hold that the animals are fine. Because if Rabbi Yossi Aglili has to introduce that halacha, right? Stano Pasha says the Rabbanan say it's okay. So ikas, the Gemara says, ikas of basefer, if the Torah would have written, you have to write it in a sefer, so that kedamarta, then it would have made sense what you said, that it can't be alive and it can't be food. So ashtiksiv sefer, when it says sefer, that's the sfiris devarim ba'almahu. No, that's just talking about sfiris devarim ba'alma. That just means, that doesn't mean, that's not talking about the item you have to write the get on, that just means the context of the writing. What do you have to write, let's say, on the parchment, or in the book, or whatever it is, or whatever you're writing. It's a sefer krisis, it has to be a story, it has to tell, not a story, not a novel, but it has to tell you, right, what's going on over here. You have to write what's happening. That's teaching me that you have to write the whole, you know, text of a get. For Rabbanan, hi, v'kasav my darsh bay. Okay, but that makes sense. But the Rabbanan, right, what about the word v'kasav law? This says you can write it on anything. What do they use that for? That teaches me that you can only use a get to divorce a woman and not give, not through money. Why would you think you could use money to divorce a woman? You might have thought to say, since there's a connection between Yitziah and Havaya, Yitziah is leaving a marriage, and Havaya is coming into a marriage. And that's, Pasuk says, when a woman goes and remarries, so it says, v'yatza mi beso, right? She leaves his house, and then she, v'halcha v'haisa, and then she goes, and she is, right, for another person. So that we connect the pasuk mentions back to back the get, the leaving, and the remarrying. So mahavaya bekesef, avitziya bekesef. You might have thought, just like you can marry a woman with money, so too you can divorce her with money. So therefore, kamash malan. Therefore, the pasuk over here comes and says bekesef, that you can only write a get to divorce a woman. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my svara, high svara min ale. So where does Rabbi Yossi Aglili know that you can only use a get? Right? He doesn't hold that you can use money. That nobody holds that. So he learns that, mi sefer krisos nafgale. He learns that from the phrase, sefer krisos, that teaches me that you have to use a get. Sefer korta, ve'ein davar achar korta. It's only the book, it's only the sefer, it's only the writing that you can divorce through, and not through nothing else. V'idach, and what are the Chachamim use that for? So, ledavar hakoreis beino lebeino. They learned that you have to have a permanence, a severance that is permanent, that permanently separates the man and the woman. Kidetanya, like Melinda Braisa, if a husband writes on his get, if he writes, this is your get, on the condition that you never drink wine or you never go to your father's house, ain't zekrisos, that's not a get. Why? Because she's always going to be bound to him for the rest of her life, right? If she drinks wine, then it's no longer a get. If she goes to her father's house, it's no longer a get. She's always bound by that condition. So that's no good. You need to completely sever the marriage. So therefore, if you write kol shel shem yom, if you make it tonight and you say, if this is your get, as long as you don't do either of those things for 30 days, so okay, so day 31, that's up, it's finished. So therefore, hareza krisos, that's a good severance. So that's what the Chachamim use, that word sefer krisos, to teach me that the separation has to be complete. V'idach, what does Rabbi Yossi Aglili learn that from? Mikares krisos nafka. He learns it from the fact that it says krisos instead of kares. It says sefer krisos instead of kares. That teaches me it has to be a full severance. V'idach, what about the Rabbanan? So kares krisos, lo darshi, as usual, back when you have these back and forth, right, at some point somebody doesn't learn like somebody else. So it's simply Rabbi Yossi Aglili does not, or the Chachamim rather, do not ascribe any significance to the fact that it says krisos over the word kares. Okay, new Mishnah, ha'usas ukasu bein ha'ilanos. If you make a sukkah between the trees, ha'ilanos defanos la, and the trees are the walls of the sukkah, k'shira, it is kosher. Now, you may remember the Mishnah Chaf Beis Mabeis, it also talked about a sukkah, you used the walls of a tree. Rashi over here explains, right, the sukkah itself, Rashi says the difference between this Mishnah and the last Mishnah, because again, theoretically, on Chaf Beis Mabeis, we learned that you can use a tree as a wall of a sukkah. Pashtus is, in a simple understanding, is that was talking about, I didn't really explain 100% over there, but there's a whole discussion in terms of how to reconcile these two Mishnahs. Pashtus is that the Mishnah on Chaf Beis is talking about a sukkah in a tree, and this is talking about a sukkah on the floor. Right? There is definitely other ways to understand. If you're wondering why we need this Mishnah, so there is a whole discussion, definitely could have to check it out. But either way, the Mishnah says, again, right, if you make a sukkah between the trees and the trees of the walls, so then it is fine. So Amar Bachar Bar Yaakov, Kol Mechitza She'ini Yichol Lama Baruch Metzuya, Eino Mechitza. If you remember, we had this halacha before, any wall and that is not able to stand with a normally found wind, right? We had with the discussion about a sukkah on a boat. So any wall that is able to stand in normal wind, if it's unable to stand in normal winds, in a mechitza, that's not a good mechitza. Ay, Tanan, what about our Mishnah? We just said that you can use a tree as a wall of a sukkah. Don't trees sway back and forth? But the tree that you're using here is a big oak tree that's been around for 150 years, doesn't really move, right, in the wind. So that would be fine. Okay, Vainika Nofo. Right. What about the branches? Right. But we're assuming here that you need the branches for the wall, for the mechitza. So where it says Nofo David La Behutza V'Dafna. And so too over here. Right. Again, we answered before in a different context. Right. You're tying together. You're kind of making sure that the leaves don't move. Right. By adding. Let's say some palm branches or whatever. So Yachi, if that's true, my lememra. Well, if that's the case, where it's completely stationary and you're adding stuff to the tree where it's just basically going to stay straight up, so you don't need to teach me that, right? The pashtus is that it's a straight wall made out of wood, right? You don't need to teach me that that's fine. So Gemara the Tema, you might have thought Nigzar Dilma Asi Lam Shdushay Ve'Ilan, because you might have thought, if you remember, just like we had the discussion on Chaf Beis Mabeis, and there's a gzer there about it on Shabbos and Yontif about Hishtamshus Ba'ilon, that you're not allowed to use a tree on Yontif or Shabbos. So you might have thought that you're not allowed to use these trees as the wall because you might end up putting something on the tree, right, and using the tree. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, I have to teach me that it is not, there's no such gzer, and it is mutter. Okay, Tashma, another attempt to disprove Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Again, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said that a mechitza that is not able to stand in the normal wind is not a mechitza. So, Hayasham Ilan o Gader, o mechitzas hakanim, nidor mishum din yomad. That you're able to use, if you remember, this is, again, Pasei Abiros, this whole concept of putting, is this Pasei Abiros? I thought so. 1 second, sorry. Yeah, if you had the well and if you had a well in Rishus HaRabim, and if people Ole Regal, they wanted to drink water from the well on Shabbos, the well is Rishus HaYochid, to bring into water into the Rishus HaRabim would be Hotsa Midaraisa. So Chazal allowed them to make these Pasei Abiros, right, these 1 amah long L-shaped posts at each side, at all four corners, and then kind of make that into like a little chutzar over there, and then you'd be able to draw the water. The Brisa says that if there was a tree or a gader or a fence or a mechitza, right, or some sort of a kanim or some sort of reeds, right, in one of the corners, so then nidah mishum diyomad, that's good. That can be used as one of the corners. So, but those things move, right? Definitely the reeds, for sure. Everything, all this stuff can move. So what's that? Okay, hasam nami mishum diyomad, they behotza v'dafna. No, it happens to be here. It's got to be that you tied those down and they're not going to move. And therefore, right, theoretically, if it would move, it would be no good, but you tied it down to make sure that it wouldn't move. One more proof here. Should we do one more proof? Okay. Let's do a little bit more. Hey, Tashma with another proof. Ilan ham mesach al ha'aretz. If you have a tree that is that kind of like a weeping willow that kind of falls down over the ground, ein nofo gavoa min ha'aretz shlosh tefachim betaltlan ta'achdov. If it's less than 3 tefachim, meaning if the willow branches, not, willow is an example, but if the branches go all the way down to the ground and they're less than 3 tefachim from the floor, so then betaltlan ta'achdov, you can carry it underneath it on Shabbos. Right, Amai, why is that true? Haka azel le'asi, right? It goes back and forth, obviously, willow, right? And if, in our example, it's going to move back and forth. So again, hasam nam, ida avi le'butz of adaf, namar, it has to be where you tied it down with like palm branches and whatever it is, and made sure that the branches would not move. All right, we'll stop here. This is actually the middle of the proof, but we'll stop here, and we'll go back there on the Hilgah Shas tomorrow. Have a Shavua Tov, and a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.